Amen. Praise God for the glorious word that we just heard and that we have in our Bibles. When we look at these words each year, we always find something new. And it's not just so much that it's like new, it's that God is pointing it out. Amen. When we open God's word, you have the excitement of knowing that you have something that is coming from God, from coming from heaven above right into your life for you. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, believe it today, because God works in that kind of a way. He comes and he gives us scripture, and each one of us may even see something that the other person doesn't on that given day, because it is saying, it's your name, I'm giving this to you, and you can fill in your name, and God is saying, I'm giving you this word because I have something from my heart to put into yours. Such a powerful thing for God's word to be read and to be heard in these kind of settings too, in the congregation, because we're all blessed. And it's been more and more clear to me, with all that people say about God's church, about the church of Christ and the negative things that they like to point out, it is the church of Jesus Christ. It is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? It is the church of Jesus Christ. He is the head. We are the body. And we need to remember that. It's a very powerful means. It's not because we are powerful. We are weak, and we are used for his glory. But it is a very powerful thing that exists, and no one can stop it. We really need to recognize that. It's not that we're some kind of a force that is, you know, like the other forces in the world, like people like to think about and everything like that. But stand up for the church of Christ. It is very powerful, and it's at work in even the most destitute places in this world that we're living in. Right? Where there seems to be no hope, or there's no hope, you know, people are thinking, oh, we can't, worship as we would want, but God has proved throughout history that when people try to suppress his church, it grows. And the reason is because people are not stopped by world powers, right? We're not ashamed, and we're also not intimidated, because we know that the love of God is more powerful than evil. And we see that at Easter, and we see that in Palm Sunday. Nothing is more powerful than God's love. He comes into situations where there's zero hope and it's darkness, and he comes in with his light, this glorious light, just like Jesus coming to this earth, this dark world, and brightening it up, just like these flowers. Amen? Come up and take a closer look at the flowers. You know, I mean, oftentimes we're like, look at those flowers in front of the house, and you kind of stay away from it and go up to them. Take a good look at the beauty of the flower, and take a look at the things that make up a flower and the beauty of it and the powerful colors and the smell. You remember? If you stand away and you're on the street and you're like, look at those beautiful flowers, you can't get the aroma, right? But if you move up to a flower and you breathe it in, you start to feel something that God is bringing to your life that is special, right? Don't trespass, okay? Don't trespass on lawns of people. But you can, you know, if you have your own flowers, you can go up to them and breathe them in, you know, and take in all the beauty of it. It's the same way in God's people, right? You go stay away from people, and you can kind of admire somebody, but you get involved in their life, then you start to feel like, oh, I know this person now, right? Use this time in Easter time to you know, not only to come to church, but also to expand your world a little bit and get to know people. You know, do something good for them. Exercise the gifts that you have and bring your life into theirs, and the love that God has for you into their life. Use your gifts in the community somehow, right? So I'm sure that many of you are doing that already, but it's a good reminder anyway, right? Because oftentimes we get caught up in the things that we're doing and we forget. We can do that for people. We can go and be Christ witnesses to them, and just give them a warm greeting and remind them that Jesus is risen from the dead. So we're looking at this scripture today, and I already spoke about, actually Alfred started us off on a really high note, talking about that, the Lord has need of it, right? And he has also every week prepared such beautiful artwork for us so that we can enjoy that with Pat. Both of them help us to be able to find the meaning, and the illustrations are so powerful to help us in this kind of a way, to see things, you know, that make the scripture even more evident that way. There's one thing that I want to say today. Okay, there's the main thing. There's many different things you can talk about in the scripture, and this scripture is filled with different things. And we're going to cover some of those, but the main point today is what we talked about in the fact that God left his glory in heaven to come to earth, a place that he had meant for glory. Amen? He meant lives, and the creation was all created through his glory so that men and women would enjoy it and live abundant lives and have everything they possibly wanted. And they took that one thing that was forbidden, and they wanted that more than his will for them to have everything else. Right? And it's a sad story in a way, but Jesus comes into that picture very early in the book of Genesis, and God promises that he would be bruised, but Satan's head would be crushed. You need to look at that scripture. It's the first covenant that God made, that he was going to bring the gospel. He was going to bring Jesus when he spoke that curse against Satan, the snake in the garden. Right? And that was fulfilled at this time of the year. And so we want to see that connection. Yes, Jesus was bruised. He did lose his life. He was bruised in that way. But did death hold him? No, it did not. He was raised from the dead. But Satan's head will be crushed once and for all and for all time. And the Bible teaches us that. And so there is that victory that we celebrate. But the main thing that we want to focus on, right, is this whole idea that Jesus comes into Jerusalem as a king, and he's being worshipped that way and welcomed that way, but he's the servant king. Right? And the book of Isaiah especially is one that is filled with the prophecy that speaks of him coming in that way. But there's another verse in Zechariah 9:9 that speaks exactly of this day, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he." But then we read, "humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey," right? And so we see this picture of a glorious king coming, but he's riding on a donkey, which is a very humble way for him to enter into Jerusalem. And so you have to understand, right? We all have to understand that Jerusalem is a place of great importance, a place where people come from everywhere. The people of God would go there, and they would have feasts, and they would celebrate, and they would remember what God has done for them. And he comes in with this great expectation. They're thinking, here he is. He has arrived, the Messiah. And then sadly, in a very short time, even the same day, it turns into this hatred toward him. And even in this text, we see that the Pharisees were saying, "Quiet, tell your disciples to be quiet." And what were they doing? They were doing exactly what we just heard in Zechariah. "As he was drawing near already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples," catch this part, right? We're used to reading about the donkey, "but the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Now that is inspired. That is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is inspired reading here, right? And we know what the story is and how it unfolds, that Jesus will, you know, later this week, we will celebrate and also remember Jesus as coming to his disciples and telling them that he must die. But there is celebration here. And that is what we focus on today, that we know who Jesus is. And we celebrate him with the palms, and we celebrate his coming into our lives, and celebrate this with Hosanna, saying, "Save us, Lord." Some of the most important words a person can ever say, aside from saying, praise God, would be, "Save me, Lord." That is the beginning of a life. That is the beginning of a new life. That is the beginning of Jesus, what he talked about through the scriptures in the Old Testament. "I make all things new." How is your life today? Are you feeling new? Are you feeling shiny new? You should, if you know Jesus Christ, because he makes all things new. He takes away all the pain of sin and the things that tarnished us and cause us to feel shame. And he replaces it with what? Shining glory. And we are meant for glory. It is not that we glorify ourselves or that we make ourselves equal to God. We are shining his glory. and shining glory toward him as well. But that is how highly this Jesus holds us in esteem. We are fallen in our sins, yes, but we are meant for glory. And so take that, receive that today. Raise your hand if you want to receive that word. I feel sometimes too hard on myself, Lord. I feel like I've misunderstood my life in this world. I want to receive the light that you desire so that I can shine and my life will be turned and transformed from darkness into light. Be a shining, glorious example of Christ to other people. That is the way. Amen? Can you raise your hands again? Amen. Amen. Lord, if there's anyone here today that is feeling down on life and if they're feeling lost, Lord, they have come to the right place because you are here and we pray that you would lift them up and that you would shine into their hearts and help them to know that you love them and that you want to redeem them from their sins. All they need to do is repent and believe in you and follow Jesus. Amen. I went to see Peter Moy yesterday, so I'm feeling especially happy because he was so into telling me, you know, what God is doing in his life and talking about all of you and wanting to express his joy in the church here. If some of you don't know Peter, he is, at this time he's in prison serving a sentence, but he's been transformed there. He's become more and more involved with the Bible and one sees it immediately. Whenever I get into the place where I sit down to meet him in this big hall with all these people around us, you know, and there's people very close here. I don't know if you've ever visited someone in prison, but I highly recommend it. But he comes to me and he hugs me and he says, "Let's pray." I mean, how do you think I feel as a pastor seeing someone like that? And they say, "Hey, pastor, let's pray together." And he grabs my hands and we start saying the Lord's Prayer together. And that is something that we can do, right? We're free to do it. Anytime. It doesn't matter whether we're in prison or not. But God wants us to be able to have those kind of moments. Grab somebody's hand and say, "Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hosanna." Right? And so listen to this again. The disciples began to rejoice, the whole multitude began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen. And that's what we do. We tell God, we tell people about the mighty works that we've seen God do in our lives. And with gusto and with feeling and with desire for other people to know it. You can't underestimate when God puts joy in your heart, the effect that it will have on someone else for you to tell them about it. To share it with them, to let them know what he has done, right? And in my experience, I know people are a little bit shy, and I'm the same way. If somebody asks me something, I'm kind of like, okay, I got to think about this. But we want to be so prepared when someone tells us something or asks us what God has done in your life that you are ready with that word. And it only needs to be one thing. It doesn't need to be a whole long list, but you have to be, maybe ask God, what one word that you have done in my life, Lord, can I share with someone? Then when they say, "You believe, what do you believe in? Why do you believe?" And you're ready with that word. What would it be? What would be some things that we would be ready to tell people? God loves me. What else? What is a mighty work that God has done in your life? He saved you. Okay. Okay. The Jewish people, we were in CEF class, we were teaching them about Moses and how he went as God's deliverer. He was sent there to deliver the people from slavery to sin. And so one of the things that's firm on our minds right now is that Jesus saves me from sin. He saved my life from sin. He saved me from fear of death. And now I know where I'm going. I know who my Redeemer is. And I can tell you more about it. And if you have a little bit more time, we can talk more about it and you can see for yourself. It's not just for me. Right? And so that's the message for Palm Sunday, right? That these people in the company of all these other people began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a fulfillment of scripture in Psalm 118. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now that is inspired though. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And so they're lifting everyone up, lifting their praise up heavenward. But Jesus is right before them too. Right? And that is part of this whole, this tension in this kind of a story is that he's right there. I love telling this story. There was a pastor, a friend of mine, I forget what town they lived in. It was somewhere around, well, it's in New Jersey, but anyway, he was standing out right in front of his church, and the church was like literally, like the front door was right here. And he was standing there, right in front of the church, and he said to a passerby, "Welcome, would you like to come to our church?" And this lady said, "Where is it?" I'm serious, and he was very, you know, he was very patient. He said, "It's right here." And she said, "Where?" And he said, "Right here." You know? And so these, what I mean to say is the most obvious things, right? Where is Jesus? He's right here. Right? And when he told that story, it makes everybody laugh. But isn't that kind of the way we are? It's right here. I mean, you can laugh about things that you're trying to tell a loved one in your family or sometime. It's right here. I've been telling you all the time. And you're like, oh yeah, oh okay. So then, but that's really the way it is. God is so present in our lives and we want to make it evident to people. Point it out to them. And you're not demeaning. You're really just doing something like we just laughed about. We all do it. God is not just some kind of a high philosophical idea. He's a real God who came to earth. And that's the beauty of the gospel. We can say he came from heaven above and he came here and he loved us so much he died for us. And now he's in heaven again and is coming again. What could be more simple to explain in that kind of a way? Right? But that's really what we believe, that we have faith that he is coming again and we are going to live eternally with him. And so they were saying glory to the highest, and then immediately we see the other part. Teacher, tell your disciples to shut up. And we don't want to listen to people like that. Amen? We don't want to listen to people like that. Don't get shy or intimidated by people who feel that they can tell you what to do in regards to that. You're not doing any harm. You're helping people to know the way to life. Right? So this is really the basis of this. Now, I want to just share with you of some scriptures, and we're going to do this also going into communion. Some scriptures. The scripture is the best way for us to be able to learn about the meaning of other scripture. And so I was thinking about what is the scripture that really points out best what Jesus did in coming here? And we talk about glory and we're thinking, okay, what is that? Well, this kind of gives us a picture for it. And it's found in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, where Jesus reveals himself to John from heaven, right? I mean, he's like on this island where he's being punished for believing in Jesus. And Jesus reveals himself to him with a word for all the churches, like ours. And listen to the description of what John saw when he looked upon Jesus. "I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man." And the son of man means Jesus, okay? We're talking about Jesus here. "Clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest, the hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp, 2-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Now, take that in for a moment. Take that in for a moment and think about what Jesus is or who he is in heaven. And now think about him when he comes to earth. that all of this sun shining, brightly gleaming, this powerful image of this almighty God, and it is amazing. It is amazing, and it's hard to take in, but he came and he appeared to John in this kind of a way, showing himself in all this glory, and he left that, and he came here, and how did people treat him? He became in the likeness of man so that we would be saved from our sins. So why did he do that? He came to show, first of all, his love for mankind, to show that he wanted to understand us better, right? These are things that I'm just thinking about, right? So he wanted to know us. He wanted to walk among people. He wanted to love them. He wanted to share his life with them. He wanted to teach them about heaven. He wanted to teach them that there's more to life than just wealth, material things, money, all these different things that people got caught up in and took their eyes away from God. He wanted them to worship God. He wanted them to come back into communion with God. We're going to be having communion, and that's what Jesus does. He brings us into the presence of God. He takes us out of a life that is thinking, oh, there's no glory, there's no hope, there's no shining star, it's all just these stories. And he appears to John in this kind of way. And John knew him as Jesus, who came into the world and walked with him on this earth. And now he's seeing him in all of his glory. And so I think that God wants us to do that today. He wants us to remember, not to intimidate us or to cause us some kind of a weird feeling, but to appreciate the extent of his love, that he would leave all of this glory and come to earth and to be a person like you and I, but then go to the cross and die for our sins. That is the extent of God's love. And it's right here in our Bible. All we need to do is look at it and see it. Why would he show himself in this kind of a way? And what did John do? I saw him and I fell at his feet as though I were dead. We bow down before Jesus, and that in our lives, I pray that God will help us more and more to lose our shyness and our inhibitions and the things, and fight against those things that the Spirit is desiring to pull out of us and to let go in praise and worship. And that was why the Israelites were brought out of slavery in Egypt. What? So that they may worship me, said God. Not so that they can go out and have life and they can be free from these Egyptians and they can have their own life together, so that they could worship God freely and not be that under the control of the slavery. And that is exactly what the Bible teaches us about what Jesus did. He came into the world to free us from the slavery of the fear of death. We're just reading about that. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Are you free? Amen. Those who are not free can be free. Accept the free gift of freedom to lift you up. I want to say something. We're living in a world that is not used to these kind of things. They're not used to that kind of a freedom to say hallelujah. When they see those kind of things, they're intimidated and they sometimes say, shh, right? And I know how it is for young people, especially because I was young once. And it's not easy to be able to like talk with people. And I've talked with my own kids and they've told me, Dad, you know, you have to use this kind of language with people around us. Our peers are doing this and you just have to accept it. And I understood, because then I started thinking, yeah, that's the way it was for us growing up. However, in the midst of all those things, there is a way through the Holy Spirit leading you to talk with friends and to help them to know about Jesus. In your way, through the Holy Spirit's help, using what God has given you, in your way, your special way, your personality, your words, through the Holy Spirit, helping people to know and help them to overcome their shyness and their fear of being found out or being mocked or being whatever, and come into their lives and bring the love of God into it and you will be doing the will of God. We're not talking about, you know, doing all this kind of stuff in the middle of math class or something. You know, you could, but I mean, I think the point is to build a relationship to people and then to use what God has given you in your heart and be yourself and find a way to tell them what God has done for you. We have a very, very patient God, but this picture here of Jesus is one that we don't often turn to, is it? We like to just show, you know, oh, Jesus, he relates to us here, but it's also for us important on Palm Sunday to realize what that means, that this anointed one came in the name of the Lord, right, the Father, coming on that day into Jerusalem and to give his life so that many would be saved, right? And so now, brothers and sisters, we're going to be celebrating communion. And I want to read scripture from Philippians. And it helps us also to appreciate this aspect of Jesus, that he came as a servant king. By the way, kings were supposed to take care of people. There weren't many good kings, okay? There's a long list of kings, but there aren't very many good ones because they were looking out for their own power and they were leading people to idols. They didn't have the fear of God that was needed, but they also mistreated people in their kingdom by not looking out for their good. And so we learn in Jesus that he was that king. He came and he washed the disciples' feet. He went to people who were lepers, outcasts of society, unafraid to be near them because he had power to heal them. Think about that. You're a leper and you're an outcast. You have to live outside, somewhere far away from other people, and they have to ring a bell when they hear, when they're coming near, so that they would be aware that they're coming near lepers and to avoid them. Imagine, and there are people like that in our earth here who have to hide, literally hide, because they're so hated for whoever they are. And Jesus went to those people especially and sought them out to let them know that they're cared for and that God loves them. That's the kind of king he was. He was also a servant, right? He was a servant who served people. He gave them all that he had, right? And it took him to the cross. And that service is found most in that fact that he died for us. So listen to the words that Paul wrote about this servant king. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. This is chapter 2 in Philippians from verse 4. Which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. That's a king. That's a king. The picture of what a king is intended to be, because God himself is our king. And so he left everything aside, all of the glory, all of the shining sun shining, all these different things that we read about in heaven, and left that and came into this world that's filled with hatred and violence. People cursing each other out. Doing things that are just fathomable. I went to get gas today over at Costco this morning, and these two guys were standing there, and the guy didn't even greet me. These two guys were both so involved in some kind of a really, you know, they were upset. And the guy just put out his hand. He didn't say anything. He expected me to just give him the card, so I gave him the card, and I was like, this is weird. And then I listened to them while I was getting my car filled with gas, and they were cursing and they were swearing, how come all these different things, and they were complaining about someone or some kind of situation in their life. You know? And so those are the kind of things where Jesus is needed, right? But we don't know. We don't know what is going on, but if we listen, you know, and don't go away from the things that are happening, we will know that people are really hurting. It's tiring, right? It's so tiring. And that's why Jesus is saying, I came to give you rest. So it's like, are you tired? Oh, you're tired today? You know, Jesus can give you rest. But what a glorious God. Right? This is the picture. This is who we're coming into communion with now. And all of us together, right? We're all here in Grace Church together because we love Jesus and we see each other in that kind of a light, right? And we come together that way and we remember what he did for us. And so we're going to read now in Corinthians. We can go there and take a look at what Jesus told his disciples to do, and we'll have communion together. We're going to sing a response song before we do, but let me just read you these words here. You know what? Let's sing it after, Lee-chan. Let's sing it after communion, okay? Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I didn't tell her before. So I think this is what we should do. Let's read the scripture and take communion, and then we can sing this song. For I received from the Lord... This is Paul speaking, but I also deliver to you that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember I was talking about what do we talk about the mighty works of Jesus and what do we talk about the mighty works of God? You can take a piece of bread and you can break it and say, this is what Jesus said. This is my body broken for you. Give them something, an illustration, something, you know, concrete to look at, because that's what he did. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's what we do in my church, right? We remember Jesus and what he did for us. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we take some juice, and you take the juice and you say, this represents the love of God poured out through the blood of Christ, the sacrificial lamb who gave his life for you and me so that we would not die. He took the death that we deserve upon himself, and that shows us that he loves us. And so when we believe in him, our sins are gone. You have a new start. He makes all things new. Do you need to be made new? And it might go in a direction like, did you ever have a fight with somebody and it's lingering on and everybody's just kind of avoiding the whole thing? Well, you don't need to do that because Jesus died on the cross. His blood poured out for you. It's a new covenant. It's a new life. It's a new beginning. Isn't it time for you and your friend or your family member to have a new beginning? Start over, a do-over, a second chance. It's that easy through the blood of Christ. And that's what God does, is he reminds us of what he did for us so that we can go into this world and live it. And do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, to remember him. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And proclaiming death sounds strange, but it really means that we are rejoicing in such a love that Jesus Christ would die for our sins. We're proclaiming it and saying, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He saved me from my sins. Let me just say a prayer before we go into communion together, and then we'll begin. Dear Jesus, you who are great and mighty and filled with power, unmeasurable, and the description that we heard in the word today in Revelation shows us that you truly are great in power and strength, and yet you lay that aside, and you came to earth for us. Thank you. We pray that you'll bless this time of communion and that your Holy Spirit will work among us and help us to have softened hearts so that we can be reconciled to you and that we can practice reconciliation with others. Let your love shine through us. In Jesus' name we pray.